move on to item number five, land showcase marketing and communication results. Mr. Reedy, Ms. Cynthia, and I will turn it over to everyone. You have all.
I'm gonna move over here so you can see it. Should it show up? It doesn't. It will come up. She tells me that it will come up. Good morning, Chair, Commissioners. Good morning, Deputy Director, and Director who will return. Oh, Director's who's over there. we are very pleased to be with you here this morning to talk about the Land Showcase, which is the results from our quantitative and qualitative research findings with regards to messaging around our lands. And as you are well aware, we have, lands in our organizational assessment and the recent work we've done with ZBB and for the legislature. Land acquisition and management is one of the major outcomes of the department. And we've got over a million acres and 600 water access sites that we manage on 33 wildlife areas. This body of lands and opportunities that they represent is an amazing asset for the people of the state of Washington. And as I came on as division manager about 2 years ago now, part of my vision was that we need to get a whole lot better about telling the stories and really, being very visible about the value that we produce through our lands. And so I'm really proud to be here today with our consultants. So we have Rebecca Elmore Yalch with the Northwest Research Group and Carrie Evenson with C+C marketing firm, and we're going to talk about the results of the marketing work that they've been doing. We're coming to you with it's not a finalized product. They're looking to deliver their final messaging playbook to us by the end of this month, but we wanted to give you guys an opportunity to see what the results are and how it's being built, and just share your thoughts and feedback for this process. I also just really wanted to recognize, and as Commissioner Thorburn mentioned in her committee report last meeting, that this has been a great partnership internally, and we've really been working across the lines with the Wildlife Program, Lands Division, and public affairs, as well as the licensing division and marketing. And so we have Kristen Nielsen here. She's the project manager. She's going to say a couple things at the beginning. And I really wanted to recognize that, again, this is a large effort that we've undertaken. Eric Gardner is our executive sponsor. He's been very supportive of this work. And in particular, there's a couple folks, Jason Wettstein from PAO and Matthew Trenda from Communications in Wildlife Program that are in the audience that have been really critical to this work as well. And then last but definitely not least, Melinda Posner. Melinda, if you could just stand up briefly. I just want to recognize Melinda Posner. She's our recreation, planning, recreation, and outreach section manager for the Lands Division. Melinda's been with us for over 7 years. She started off as a consultant working on Discover Pass, and she's been our lead on Discover Pass legislation. She's been working really hard on recreation strategy in our lands and leading the team in our new wildlife area planning process. We are losing Melinda. Next week is her last day, and I just wanted to recognize her for all her work, and in particular for her partnership and vision and leadership in helping me develop this this project management plan and put together the direction for this body of work. So we thank Melinda, and we wish her well at State Parks. So with that, we'll get started. I'll just control this.
Good morning. So the Land Showcase Project is a wildlife program initiative focused about better connecting people with their lands. And it's a large team, as you can see, and it's comprised of on-the-ground staff integrated with a centralized staff to ensure a balance between the outward public-facing components and the back-end technical components.
So that's just a recognition, and that's a lot of Melinda's mark, too, is that we can't tell the story without the data. And so Shelley Snyder with our GIS folks and her team are really critical for that as well. So I'm going to hand it over to Rebecca now.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here today. Very interesting listening to the input earlier. I'm going to go through this relatively briefly and open for questions as either as we move along or at the end, whichever works best. This was a big project, as Cynthia said. It was a multi-phase project. We're actually still working our way through it. So I'm going to attempt to summarize the research component of it now so that you can kind of see what led to the marketing plan and the marketing ideas that Carrie's going to talk about. So it was four phases. We did a survey of residents and users, which I'm going to talk about. We identified some preliminary brand pillars, which I'll show you. We then did, as Cynthia said, some qualitative research, and then we now have some draft brand platform and marketing ideas. So the resident and user survey was what we started out with, the resident survey. Designed it for the residents and then incorporated the users into it after we got into the field with the residents. So we did a little over 1,600 interviews statewide. It worked out that we are roughly proportionate to the population of the state within each of the six regions that WDFW serves. We then turned around and opened the survey up through an email invitation that was helped by the WDFW staff. And these are users that comprise, you know, fishing and hunting license users, Discover Pass users, holders of other permits. And again, that one actually was an open survey, and it distributed, again, roughly proportionate to the population in each of the regions. Bear in mind that in the residents, there are some users. I mean, there are pass holders in the resident survey as well. We then did a qualitative follow-up, and this was, we basically had an online discussion board where 40 people that completed the resident survey, not the users, the residents, spent about an hour online with us talking about these brand pillars. And the nice thing about doing an online discussion board as opposed to the more traditional in-person types of focus groups a lot of people are used to is that we can pretty much generate statewide representation even in small geographic areas where it's really hard for us to get to and to locate people. We also got a mix of gender, and we got a mix of age. So it was a good mix of people that spent, you know, a goodly amount of time with us. So let's talk a little bit about the quantitative research findings. I think this one's, when you look at the demographics, it's really important to understand kind of the implications of these demographic differences. So, you know, your users are a very distinct group, and they're important. But they're not necessarily the same as Washingtonians statewide. And you can see from this that if you just look at the residents, I mean, we're pretty divided in terms of age. It works out that about a third of us are younger, a third of us are in the middle, and a third of us are older. We're also half female and we're half male, pretty close, and then some others that get thrown in there. You know, so and we're more widely distributed in terms of income. If you look at your users, you can see that they're older. They're predominantly male, and they are more affluent because, obviously, they're buying permits and passes, which cost dollars. So as we worked in terms of the brand strategy, we had to balance the fact that, you know, yes, we need to be aware and cognizant of your user base, but we also need to make sure that we can appeal to the more general population. Very important kind of finding. One of the other things that we found that I think was a little bit of a surprise or an eye-opener was that, you know, we're a very active state. That's not so much of a surprise. You know, people do participate in activities. But what we saw is that in terms of residents and users, there wasn't a lot of difference in terms of participation in some of the really big outdoor activities, you know, that we see hiking, picnicking, sightseeing, that sort of thing. Where we did see a difference was when we got into those activities that take a lot more commitment in terms of time, dollars, ability to get out and about. So you saw users more likely to say, well, I'm camping. There's your Discover Pass people coming in there. Users more likely to hunt and to fish, the hunting and fishing license thing. So again, you know, we've got an active population and the residents pretty much across the board, but we don't want to just simply focus on the people that are very, very active in these very selected activities. So a big part of what we did was trying to understand from the customer and the resident point of view was what is it that they want, what is it that they value that WDF Lands provides, and how well do they think you actually are doing what they would like you to be doing. So we used an exercise where we actually sort of forced people to kind of make some trade-offs for us. And we asked them, these are 14 benefits that were developed by WDFW staff. Sorry, that's a mouthful. And then we tested them. We asked people we would show them four of these things. Say, well, of these 14 things that they do, of these four things they do, what's most important and what's least important? They went through this several times. And what we came up with is a four critical kind of core things that they feel it are important for WDFW. I'm going to stop saying that. Lands. I'm just going to say lands.
Great.
To do. And the big one, the single most important thing you can see here is conservation and protection. Okay, and that basically incorporates first and foremost protecting species and habitats, but also keeping air and water clean. Now, bear in mind, we also know that that's the ecology group's responsibility too. But people do see that you have a role in air and water quality.
Bars, are those percentages of?
No, they're a ranking. So they actually, it's almost like an index that if you add them across the yellow, that sums to 100. So you can literally say that,
That
conservation and protection is worth 47 out of 100 of these points.
Okay.
So you can see it really pops way up there. Access is the second most important benefit that lands provides, and you can see that it's way more important to users than it is to residents. And in fact, the third most important benefit provided is preservation and education, and you can see that that is equally important with residents as access. And then economic, while not as important, is still a benefit that is offered by public lands and is important and should certainly be factored into everything that we do. So out of that, we developed these brand pillars, and Carrie's going to talk more about what brand pillars are and what they mean, but they're kind of your core statements, the things that you really are going to be the basis of what you say and do going forward. These are preliminary. These are what we tested. And so the first one we said, the really bottom line, is that you're out there to protect land, water, and wildlife. Secondly, you provide access. Thirdly, you foster experiences. And fourthly, you preserve our natural heritage of the state. And this is not a passive thing. It doesn't just happen. You are actively out there doing this. So what we did is some qualitative research to find out basically what it is that those four big brand pillars, what do they mean to people? What did they say about them? So what we did is we recruited 40 people to this qualitative discussion board. We presented them individually with each of these four terms, and we asked them, you know, what does it mean to you? What do you think about? What should we say about it? What would you believe? What do you think their role is? How would you talk about it, and how would you image it? So I'm going to really talk primarily about what it means, but then also kind of show you some images and what they said about each of these. So the first thing is that we found possibly a surprise, but not necessarily a surprise, is that many people, when we said, what did they do? They said, I don't know. I don't really know. Or I assume, but I don't really know. Even users said, well, I think they do this, but I'm not really sure. So the good thing is that you're kind of sitting there with a clean slate. You know, you don't have a lot of preconceived notions, so that's good. The other thing, though, is you got a lot of work to do because you do really want people to know what you do and to support it. The next thing we did is we really looked at some of the words that people use. And I have a couple slides here to kind of show you. But words that came out were things like, they're there to protect. They're there for conservation. Advocacy. They're there to advocate for resources and for the users. And resources meaning for land and for wildlife. They're managers. They're regulators. They're enforcers. That was had some interesting things behind it. They're in charge of managing and controlling access, and they're also in charge of ensuring that we have access. So those are some of the terms that came out. The next one is a word cloud, and it actually really kind of shows the frequency of which these terms. And you can see things like they're there to protect, they're there to maintain, they're there to provide enjoyment, they're there for enforcement, they're there for the future. They're there for generations. So these themes we worked with C+C to bring into some of these brand pillars. Yeah.
So I'm from public health, and we've been through this exercise. And, protect came up. But our public didn't like the notion of protect. You know, they don't, because public health is a lot of government, and this idea that government's going to make a decision about how I should protect my health. So I'm wondering if you were able to explore attitudes about these notions of what we do at all.
I'm not quite sure I understand the question.
We were seen in public health as protecting,
right.
But the public didn't like that we did that. They want to make their own decisions about that.
For sure, we saw that people, you know, they said, we want you to protect. They also felt that you were doing a reasonably good job of protecting wildlife and protecting habitat and wildlife. So, you know, they're in support of doing that.
Yeah. Okay.
And they do see a role, you know, they see a need for somebody standing up there.
So basically, with all of these key themes, you felt that they were also supportive of these activities.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
That's what I was getting at.
So when we looked at the four themes themselves, when we asked people, what does it mean to protect land, water, and wildlife, the people really focused on the idea that you're there. I think this might answer your question. You're there to protect. It means keeping things as they are. I'm not going to read all the quotes, but kind of. It means overseeing the balance. So I think they're saying, you know, we do see a role for government to do this for, to help us do this. Having certain areas put aside to protect. They also had a reason for doing it. And they gave us saying, you're supposed to be doing this because we want to protect it for the future. And when they talked about the future, they talked not just about people, but they talked about the future of wildlife as well. So you're there to protect and conserve for the future generations of people and wildlife. Came out really loud and clear. And when you look at some of the images they share with us, you can really see that they brought out, you know, protection of some species, some pristine areas, but then they also saw a role for restoration and cleanup. So that was what they were talking about, and they shared in terms of what it means to them and what they felt you would be doing. Looking at access, there it was a little less clear exactly what they were seeing as access. For some people, they meant access to everything and for everybody, and like we were going to have handicapped access and boardwalks everywhere. Others saw it more as a providing limited and controlled access to less developed areas. So this is an area that as you move forward, messaging is going to be very important because, you know, you're not in Washington State Parks that provides access to everything with a boardwalk and handicapped access. You do need to set things aside to protect the wildlife. So this was an interesting one. And you can see in the images that they shared, you can really see this sort of dichotomy of, you know, wood paths everywhere versus less developed areas. So kind of an interesting one. Heritage was a really interesting one. Most people really suggested that preserving the heritage of our state is that it means keeping things natural or returning them to what they were in the past. So you can see keeping the land as natural as possible, preserving heritage so that you protect the past. I mean, they value what we have in the state. It's a unique state, and they want to see it saved. And the reason, again, for doing it, to preserve it for future generations. They want this to be available for their kids and their grandkids as well as you know, the grandchildren, the kids and the grandchildren of our fish and our wildlife. And you look at the pictures, you know, they brought up pictures of species that, not surprisingly, the orcas, we were doing this when we were the whale was swimming around with its baby, and it was so touching and so sad. But they really did bring out that these species, you know, the wild horses, the bald eagle, are precious to us. They also showed pictures of children, why we're doing this. And what I thought was really interesting is they pulled out black and white photos, which is, you know, they really recognized that heritage is the past. And the last one we looked at was, what does it mean to foster experiences? And most frequently here, as they were talking about it being an environment or an opportunity where they can build and have lasting memories of something special. And they also saw it as a means to learn or try new things. So helping the public access, educating them. Education came up, encouraging people to try to do things, nurturing memorable experiences. So, you know, really words that had really deep meaning to people. And again, you look at the pictures that they shared with us in terms of what this means. You can see, again, lots of different environments in which to share. And a lot of them, what we were surprised at, and we thought was very cool, was their easy experiences, like going to the locks. You know, that we aren't going out and trying to climb Mount Rainier. We just want to go and have a memorable experience at the locks, or at a small fishing pond, or, you know, climbing. And again, lots of sharing of things with other people and learning and with children involved. So those were the really key findings from the research. I'm going to turn it over to my W-2 form here. interesting.
That's right, that office is
Carrie. I was doing bookkeeping last night. And she'll talk about where we're going to go with this.
Just one quick question again. The images, how are those provided?
Yeah. We just ask people to say, okay, you know, when you think about they just posted them online, and they could pull them off the internet. Some of them were people that they shared their own images. We just let them just find, saying, you know, if you were going to share with us what this looks like to you, what would you share? So it's kind of
like that, yeah.
For brand just people to project.
Yeah. So, and I guess I'm going to pose this for you. Do you want to wait until the very end, or do we?
There was a couple things that caught my eye right now, and in the.
What's your preference?
Well, we've got about eight more slides, so it might be good just to kind of tell the story and then
fine.
Have a conversation. That'd be great.
Great. So what we did with the great research that Becky's team did was develop a proposed brand platform. So what a brand platform is it takes those pillars, it takes the insights from the research, from what the residents and the users told us, and develops sort of a playbook, a tool that everyone can use to tell our story better based on what folks told us they wanted to learn about. And so based on the second phase of the research, that qualitative phase, we did a few tweaks to the brand pillars graphic that Becky introduced earlier in the presentation. A few rewords, shifted a couple between pillars. Nothing major. The main thing I wanted to call your attention to on this was on that foundational pillar, that protecting land and water for wildlife and people. In the original version, we had it say protecting land, water, and wildlife. And what came out of that second phase of the research is that why. People really wanted to know, what are we doing this for? And that's where that future generations information came in, and that is what is motivating people. So they wanted to know why. So what are we doing this for? We're doing it for wildlife, and we're doing it for people. That's the reason why we're doing this protection. And on messaging, as Becky mentioned, we have a ton of opportunity to sort of fill the gaps in understanding and awareness with these key pillars and what the Lands Division does, what it's in service of. For protection, we've really heard loud and clear people want to know, they want to know the why, they want to know what's being done, they want to see some action, they want to know the plan. So it's not quite enough to just say we're protecting, it's more, how are we doing this? this and why are we doing this and kind of bring people from that awareness phase into more understanding and feeling relevant to their lives. And that's kind of marketing speak, but providing more opportunity to make those connections with people. Under the providing access pillar, we did see a real dichotomy amongst folks in terms of what access meant to them. And so I think there's a big opportunity to sort of take that and provide more welcoming messaging, avoiding jargon as we are trying to appeal to a broader cross-section of folks in the state. And again, people want to know more specifics. What are we protecting? Where and how? And in the cases where we do need to control access to something, what is the reasoning behind that? And how might that tie back to our core foundational pillar of protection? Under fostering experiences, that's really where people got personal, where they really wanted us to focus on how it impacts them personally, those memorable experiences, shared memories, making memories with their families, sharing traditions from generation to generation, and focusing on those specific experiences or events. So you saw those pictures of hiking, of the locks, of fishing. And then preserving heritage. This is both cultural and natural heritage is under that umbrella. So people want to preserve heritage, but again, getting back to that action piece. They want to know why. They want to know what's the goal, what is the plan, and then specific messaging on what the agency is doing, what the division is doing, what they have done, all getting to sort of that why question. And the rest of the brand platform is just giving a little bit more information about what drives the land division based on the research and how we might articulate what it offers and how it does the things that it does. So we drafted these. There's about six of them, these little sections that I'll go through. The vision is this broader, what is our North Star? What are we in service of? And broadly, we are in service of a Washington where fish and wildlife thrive in healthy habitats, where people experience and enjoy our state's natural gifts for generations to come. So it ties in a lot of that research and those insights we heard from folks. The mission is how we do that. What do we do in service of this vision? And what we do is we actively manage lands, restoring habitats, preserving wild places, and serving as stewards and guardians for Washington's natural places and wildlife. The purpose sort of distills those down into a really short sentence, very, very short and sweet. So why are we here? We're here to protect land and water for wildlife and people, and that's a match with that foundational brand pillar that we talked about earlier. It really distills it perfectly. The promise is, in doing all of this, what are the benefits that we're providing to our audience? What are we providing to statewide residents? We're protecting natural places and wildlife. We're reflecting the value that all of us place on our state's rich heritage. We're celebrating the unique experiences our state has to offer, and all in service of this goal of ensuring that the lands will be available for future generations of people and of wildlife, as Becky mentioned earlier. The positioning statement allows us to talk about what is unique about the division and what it provides. I think this is particularly important for DFW because there is some overlap with other state, local, federal agencies in terms of public lands and what they do. So what is differentiating us? The Lands Division is providing active and ongoing management of public lands and water for people to explore and engage, to support lifestyles and livelihoods, so that brings in that economic impact messaging. We're fostering shared experiences and preserving Washington's proud natural and cultural heritage now for the future. And then it wraps up by just saying kind of a stake in the ground by saying our land, water, and wildlife matter, and we exist to ensure they'll be here forever for all of us, so for everyone. When we get to the personality and tonality, this is a great tool for folks as they're developing communication strategies and outreach. It's, I like to say, if this brand, if the division were a person, what kind of person would they be? And what would communicating with that person be like? And this lets folks, whether they're writing a speech or a social media copy or a website, to just think about how we represent the Lands Division and what it offers based on the research that we did. So those are about nine different attributes there. I won't read all of them, but you can kind of see the draft ones there. And then, as Cynthia said, we'll be developing a full messaging playbook based on this research, and how we usually organize that is by those brand pillars and then by audience underneath each of those. And so we've gotten a start on that with just a key message under each one of these brand pillars. So protecting land and water, we're doing more than management. We're nurturing our wildlife and habitats for present and future generations. Under providing access, the focus is on ensuring that people can enjoy healthy habitats and that those that are in trouble can be restored to get us all closer to nature. Under preserving heritage, we're committed to safeguarding the unique heritage of our state's fish, wildlife, and people. Very short and sweet, but provides a lot of flexibility under that for the different ways that we do that for different audiences. And then under fostering experiences, bringing in that personal connection that folks told us they really valued. So we're dedicated to keeping Washington a place where fish and wildlife thrive and where memories are made every day.
All right. So that was a whole lot fast and furious. We'll have a little conversation about initial feedback and let you know the next steps before we dive into that. So as Carrie and Rebecca have stated, we're going to get the finalized brand platform that's scheduled for end of January. We are actually already starting to incorporate this into statewide messaging. So this has been key in developing our legislative fact sheet associated with the Lands Budget Ask. And then we are aligning this messaging with our new website launch. And then as part of the overall initiative for the biennium, beginning to choose, and we haven't chosen yet, 2 to 4 specific wildlife areas where we will deliberately take these messages and put them to work on the ground. Then the ongoing goal is that this becomes just part of how we do work and talk about our work in the Lands Division and gets integrated into all our messaging and outreach. So that's what we have for you, and really interested in your thoughts and questions.
Let's start with somebody else. I don't want to. Cynthia, if I
could. Say something nice.
I will. I'll try and play nice. Could I get you to go back to slide 11, please? Okay. On the right side of the bar chart, economic. This is kind of one of those that depends upon what your perspective is. If you're in Seattle, probably isn't a big important as far as economics coming off being driven. But if you're in our part of the world where the department owns 15% of our ground, and there again, we still have schools to run. We still have roads to keep up. And the importance of these large tracts of lands being economically viable for those communities are big. They truly are, because we've got X amount. The department is trying to get a little bit better about PILT payments, but still quite a ways behind. And I know when this issue first came up a few years back, we all brought in our tax statements. And in open spaces in the state, which most ranchers and farmers are in, we get a pretty good break, but we also get hit on our improvements, our houses, our barns and shops, and we get dinged pretty good on personal property tax. We just brought our tax slips in. We went through and figured if Jay Holzmiller sold his place to the department, what would they be paying, and what is my actual bill? And I don't have much equipment because I just do some haying and logging. But I would be paying 5 times the amount as if the department was had owned the ground. And we had guys that were 8 times as much. So when you're in a small rural area that is, there again, trying to keep roads, public services going, yeah, it's a pretty good size hit. So just wanted to make the same old drone that depends on your perspective on this one. Could I get you to go to 22, please? Preserving heritage. I think this is the right one, 22. Yeah, preserving heritage, meaning. There again, we always have to chuckle because the ranching, farming, and logging have been going on in our county for 100-plus years. We've got lots of game. They want to come and buy it because what it is, and the first damn thing that happens is they change everything that's gone on. Heritage means a lot of things and depends upon what your perspective is of what your heritage is. So, I just throwing it out, guys. That's what I mean. I mean, we have heritages, right, wrong, and different, but that is what these communities have been based over for 100-plus years. And once we get the government to come in and buy them, first thing that changes is the heritage of what the land has been used for. So I think you need to tweak that word a little bit, or there again, just perspective. And I know that we make a small blurb on the thing when it comes to actual people, but it depends on how you look at it.
And if I could, Commissioner, just quickly respond. You cut to the core of the challenge that we have, right? As an agency and as a lands division in particular, we have the state of Washington and the diversity of views and perspectives in the state of Washington. We have wildlife areas in every corner of the state. Those wildlife areas exist in extremely diverse ecological and social systems. They're embedded in those systems, and so it's part of my vision for the Lands Division that there be a statewide vision, and we are able to speak to the expectations and needs of Washingtonians, but also to be able to support and recognize and celebrate the unique settings of all of these places and bring in those unique pieces in the way that we manage those lands. It's a dang hard job.
Well, bless your heart, Cynthia. You are just fantastic about keeping and coming and meeting with us. And I know for a fact that there's been times she left Asotin County that she would have loved to strangled all of us. But
never.
You're really good about coming and doing it. And it's just one of those things that I just wanted to bring it up. It was, you know, there again, we're making presentations and there's two sides to the story. And just for my fellow commissioners. And no, Cynthia, you've been amazingly good about keep coming and listening to our Hawaiian sessions. So anyway.
I think one of the words that we heard people use a lot was the word balance. So there is a recognition among the general population, the public, that there is a balancing act, you know. And I don't think any of them have any expectation that we're going to go back to where we were 1,000 years ago or even 200 years ago. I mean, it's impossible. But they're looking for the Lands Division to help provide that kind of balance so that we can have the good or the best of what is available out there. In terms of the economic, I mean, there's clearly a recognition. It wasn't zero. I mean, there's clearly a recognition that the economic benefits that public lands provides are very, very important. It's just that relative to some of the other roles, it was less important. So, and if you look at it with certain groups, you can see it really pop up. And in certain areas of the state, it becomes much more important because they're more aware of the lands that are set aside for economic capabilities. So, you know, it's what we were looking for and trying to do here was also to balance what, you know, what's the general message. And there will be some very specific messaging that C+C will talk about in the playbook that is very specific to some of these certain areas. Yeah. It's not going to be a one-size-fits-all.
Well, and there again, I have to commend you guys. You're working with it. But there again, slide 11 really was one that really sunk home with me. It really did. Because it damn well depends on your perspective on the deal. So, enough said. Thank you for your time.
So, thanks. Your comments in response were helpful. But I was thinking, as Commissioner Holtzmiller was talking, it really kind of crystallized, I think, the discomfort, the little bit of discomfort I was feeling with the words when I asked my first question. What I in the survey work is great. I'm quite impressed with it. But what I sense is missing is there is an important stakeholder in our public lands, and that is the private landowners. And I just don't really sense that, as I think Commissioner Holtzmiller is kind of pointing out, in what has been captured by the survey and the messaging. So just would it kind of capsulize what I realized as you were talking.
Other questions?
Yes.
Question
this is just excellent work, and I really appreciate that you've done it. I have a couple of comments. One is, I think that what you're struggling with here is how to tap into something that we know is there, and that's the appreciation for our natural surroundings in the state. That's why a lot of people live here. I would kind of ask, there's a couple of places as I read through here, I saw what I thought were overused kind of platitudes. One of them is unique heritage. I mean, there's words like that that everybody who's trying to sell something uses that I don't think works, but that's just a tiny little bit of sentiment. What I do believe, though, is that what I think is missing isn't private landowners. It's figuring out how to tap just a bit more into whatever that sentimentality is, whatever that nostalgia is, whatever that sense of what I think it is thankfulness that there is someone out there sort of staunching progress just a little bit so that there will be something left for others. And that requires, and this is dicey, but I think that requires a bit of a comparison of where we are and where we can go. And without, you know, without saying bad stuff about the future, but when you're going through this, I'm reminded of the old Joni Mitchell song that we all know. Guesses? You pave paradise and you put up a parking lot. Everybody, at least of my generation, understands that song. And I think that if we can capture that gestalt a tiny bit more in this, I think that this will be work that will guide us for many years to come. So basically, I'm appreciating and thinking that, you know, you get into the trust, you get into the hope, you get into the nostalgia, you get into the sentimentality of what we do. You listen to the people who were here earlier on Orca. None of us want to preside over the extinction of Orca. We don't, and we are actually probably more to say about that later. But it is really comes home to somebody sitting here, the trust that the people of the state have in us, kind of whether they can articulate it or not. And so I appreciate you guys trying to articulate it. End of story.
I mentioned earlier the meeting that I just attended, the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agents. They just issued a report, or this is a draft. Do you know about this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've shared that with them.
Huh?
We have shared that with them.
Oh, okay, good.
That's great.
I'm going to have a copy of this made for everybody, for the commissioner, because it's called America's Wildlife Values, the Social Context of Wildlife Management in the U.S. So I'm glad you have
it. Yeah, absolutely. And there was a lot of consistencies in what we found and what we saw in there, so which always is good.
This is a national report.
Good.
Thanks, Beth.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.